attend it. So it's a lot of faith. All right then. Pastor Hannah is a husband, a speaker, and an author who has impacted thousands of lives through his ministry, prayer, and dedication to service. He also just built a church, and it's also called the Temple. Today, he's the founder and lead pastor of New Life Covenant Church Southeast, that's in Chicago, a non-denominational multicultural church on the south side of Chicago. Let's rise to our feet and welcome for the first time at the Wharf Beckway, Pastor John Hahn.
Wow. Let me tell you why I'm amazed. This is something that I prayed for. And last year, when we were on lockdown, I did a test called 23andMe. And it tells you where you came from. I have a surprise. We're related. So my results came back, and it says that 75.6% of you is from West Africa. 44.2% of you is from Nigeria. My people, I've been looking for you. Can I get an air hug, please? Oh my God. I am 58 years old and I've waited for 58 years to meet you all. Wow! Can we give God a hand praise for my results? Start walking in like, you look like me, and you look like me, and you look like me. We look alike. Do me a favor. Can we just lift our hands and begin to open our mouths and begin to bless the God of our salvation? Can we begin to speak well of our God? For we honor you. We glorify you. You are great. You are God. You are mighty. You are strong. You are excellent. You are holy. You are magnificent. And we open our mouths and we give you glory. We sound the alarm that you are a great God. We sound the alarm that you are a mighty God. We sound the alarm that you are sovereign, that you sit on the throne, that you reign forever. We sound the alarm that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And we got up this morning to give you glory. We got up this morning to tell you that we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We got up to tell you thank you for bringing us into another year. For you have been our shield, our high tower, our foundation. And we open our mouths and we give you glory. We open our mouths. It is your breath within our lungs. And we lift it up to you. We lift it up to you. We stand on top of everything that we're going through. And we say that you are still God, that you are still mighty, that you are still wonderful, that you are still excellent, and there is no one like you. For you are the lover of our soul. You are our friend, our counselor, our doctor, our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor, and we give you glory. Come on, open your mouth. There's a sound. We open our mouths and we shout to you. We open our mouths and we shout to you, for you are great, for you are mighty, for you are strong, for you are a healer, for you are a deliverer, for you are a waymaker, for you are our everything. You're the God that fight for us. You're the God that defend us. You're the God that stand with us. You are consistent. You are faithful. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are forgiving. And we open our mouths and we give you glory. Come on. We give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and release your sound. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and release your sound. Glory. Clap your hands and release your sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I am so grateful to be here, and I honor the man of God, the overseer, the prophet of the house, Pastor Poju. Can we give God a hand praise for him and his lovely wife, First Lady, to all of those that are here. To Pastor Keon is amazing, isn't he? Okay, I got to keep my city talk to myself. In the United States, we call someone like him a G. He's a G. He's a thug in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so as you can tell, I love smiling. I'm determined to live. I'm determined to enjoy this thing called life. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So everyone in the building, you should be grinning from ear to ear, smiling, because he saved you. He delivered you. He delivered you out of the hand of the enemy. You are not who you used to be, and for that we are grateful. I'm a little different in my preaching, and while I'm preaching, you're going to hear me telling you to say certain things, and I have you saying certain things to put it out there in the atmosphere. One of the scriptures that blessed me and made sure that I monitored my confession, I just want to open it up so I can explain it to you, is Numbers 14 and 28, when he told Moses to tell the children of Israel, "So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say." My God. So whatever you speak, it's going to be your reality. So during the sermon, you'll hear me telling you to speak certain things. During the sermon, you'll hear me tell you to lift your hands and just put a worship on certain things, because I believe that the worship is the stamp of approval. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about you're anointed to be you. You're anointed to be you. For everyone at the sound of my voice, I need you to hear me. You cannot come into this kind of atmosphere and the glory not get on you. You cannot be on a lockdown for a week and have this kind of conference and the oil not get on you. It is important that you seize your moment. You have to grab this. It is in God's divine order that your steps have been ordered by him. You are not here by chance or by accident. We are not here by chance or by accident. This is a divine order by God. We are in the right place, in the right time, and around the right people for God to do something magnificent in our lives. For those of you that know that he's about to bless you in ways that's going to blow your mind, and that your 22 is going to be better than your 21. Come on here. I need you to open your mouth and declare, this is going to be one of the best years of my life. Say it again. This is going to be one of the best years of my life. So what we're going to look at, and you can go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. We're going to look at you're anointed to be you. We're going to look at David. We understand the scripture that Saul was the first king over Israel. Then we understand that he disobeyed God. What blows my mind when I read that, do you realize that the first king of Israel committed suicide? He was anointed, but the pressure of his life got the best of him, and he ended up falling on a sword. The next king was David, but before he did that, God had already chosen who would be next. And for many of you all, under the sound of my voice, I came to tell you, you, my brothers and my sisters, have been designated to be next. You're sitting next to someone that they don't look like who they shall become. But what is their future? Your ladder will be greater. Come on, can you lift your hands and worship God for that just for like 5 seconds? Hallelujah. The Bible says that after God had rejected Saul, he told Jesse, He told Samuel, get up and go to Jesse's house, for I have already chosen who will be next. The Bible says that when Samuel got there, he told Jesse, and Jesse brought in 7 of his sons. When the first one walked in, Eliab, he was swole. He looked as if he would be it. The Bible even says that Samuel looked at him and said, surely this has to be it. God spoke to Samuel and said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He says, is there another? Please listen to this. He says, yep, there yet remains the youngest, but he's in the field. Then he says, watch me. Then Samuel said, we won't sit down until he comes. Send for him. Oh, this is good. Hear me clearly. Some things won't settle until you show up. It is imperative that you make up in your mind that you answer when your name is called. When you read this, one would think that David might have been insulted that you called everybody, but you didn't call me. But he got over being offended and knew that God had to be something. I think that had he walked in the room with all the brothers, because he's the youngest, they would have been taller than him. He would not have been seen. But God divinely arranged it that he walked in by himself. Let that be revelation for some of you all that's trying to figure out why you don't have a large circle, why you don't have a lot of friends. Is it possible that there's a season in your life that you have to walk into certain rooms by yourself? Come on here. And when you come, you don't even have to open your mouth. God will make the room see who you are and who you shall become. Come on, let's talk for a minute. The Bible says that when David walked in, he said, there he is. There he is. There he is. Now get your oil and let's anoint him. So Samuel took the horn of oil. Let's talk. And anointed him in the presence of his brothers. Please look. This was not some putting some oil on some finger and anointing his forehead. Oil was poured over him, which means that everybody had to acknowledge that he was drenched in oil. I'm saying to some of you all under the sound of my voice, the day is coming. They don't have to know your name. They don't have to know your title or your position, but the oil will speak for itself. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the room and already be greasy. I want to walk in the room and already be oily. You should check to see if you're next to somebody who has a little oil on them. I can't be anointed and you be anointed and we don't connect in the spirit. You have to sit around anointed people for the anointing to be increased. I don't know about you, but can you do me a favor? Can you look to your left and see if the one next to you just have a little oil? How can you tell? I can tell by your worship. I could tell by the words that come out of your mouth. I could tell by your response. I could tell how you sit in the house of God. Do me a favor just for the next 5 seconds. Lift your hands, but pay attention to those on your right and your left. And you can see if they have the oil or not. Lift your hands and open your mouths and begin to bless the God of your salvation. Keep going. You anointed for this. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. You anointed for this. Come on, say, I'm anointed for this. Come on, say, I'm anointed for this. Come on, say, I'm anointed for this. I'm anointed for this. I'm anointed to do this. I'm anointed to be this. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. From that day on, I received Christ at the age of 17. As a teenager in Chicago, he literally became my Lord and my Savior at the age of 17. I was in the basement of a church, and The Spirit of the Lord came on me. I found myself in the corner of a church weeping and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I walked from the church, went in my bedroom, closed the door, got down on my knees, and I asked him to be my Savior, to be Lord over my life at the age of 17. And from that day forward, he has been my Savior. He has been my healer. He has been my waymaker. It is no goodness of my own, because if I look at my background doesn't match my present. I am the product of two parents who were teenagers. My father was a drug addict and a drug dealer who went to prison. My mother was a teenage mother who married a man when I was 7 years old who verbally abused me every day. But the Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So regardless of what I went through, he walked through all the hell that I went through. And he said, and I found you polluted in your own blood, and I told you to live. And when he anointed me, he reversed generational curses. And for many of you are under the sound of my voice, you anointed to be the curse breaker. You anointed to change your family's life. You anointed to be light in the midst of darkness. You anointed to make sure that your children never go through what you've been through. This is why the enemy started early trying to kill you, because he knew that you would be a weapon of destruction. Those of you that know that God's hand is on your life, I feel God already. I need you to get ready to release a shout for the oil that is on your life. Open your mouth and release your shout.
And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him for the rest of his life. So, researchers say that David was more than likely like a preteen when he was anointed. They say that when Samuel came to anoint him, he didn't announce it out loud. Hear ye, the next king of Israel. But he whispered, you're next. You're next. I can't explain everything that's going to happen after today, but you need to hold on to the fact that the oil is on your life. Can you do me a favor? Can you just tap yourself and say, I'm next? Come on, say it again. I am next. Come on, tap yourself and say, I'm anointed for this. I'm anointed for this. What are you anointed for? I'm anointed to do it. I'm anointed to do it. What do you mean? The Bible says that God allowed the evil spirit to come upon Saul. And someone brought up David's name and said, Jesse has a son that when he plays, things seem to shift. David did not bring his name up. While he was at his father's house, his name was being brought up at the palace. Someone said, I've seen him and I've heard him do what he do. And when he do what he do, things change. The Bible says, please listen, that Saul sent for him. For many of you all under the sound of my voice, at the top of the year, God sent me to tell you that he's about to send for you to do what you do. The Bible said that when David went in there and that evil spirit was on Saul, David got his instrument. Let's read the Bible, you all. Look at the screen. In 1 Samuel 16 and 23, whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and do what? And do what he did. And play, then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. Why would it leave? Because when David came in, he did did what he did. Watch me. There are a lot of people that do what you do, but they don't do it with the anointing. There are a lot of speakers, but a lot of speakers don't have the oil. There are a lot of singers, but a lot of singers don't have the oil. There are a lot of people that are teaching, preaching. There are a lot of people that even do business, that work where you work, but they don't have the oil. What separates you is when the super get on your natural. Come on here. Watch me. And he's not going to call you to do something that you don't know how to do. Only thing you have to do is just show up and do what you've already been doing. I am going to give you the opportunity to release your name in this building. I decree and I declare that when your name is released, it will be picked up in the spirit at the right time. Somebody will bring your name up and you will be sent for to do what you do. Where are my faith people at? On the count of three, I need you to say your name. Put your name in the atmosphere. Put your name in the spirit realm and you will be sent for. One, two, three. John Hannah. I don't like the way some of you all said your name. I wouldn't call you if you said your name that pitiful. But I need you to say it with confidence that when you put your name out, watch me, that God literally is about to pick your name up and bring you in the right place at the right time. Watch me. Watch me. You don't have to ask anybody to hand anybody a card. You don't have to ask anybody to call you. God is about to call you. On the count of three, you're going to say your name. Then put a praise behind your name. How about that? One, two, three. John Hannah. Come on, put a praise. You anointed to do it. You anointed to teach. You anointed to preach. You anointed to do business. You anointed to sing. You anointed to play. You anointed to write. You anointed to draw. You anointed to be an artist. You anointed with numbers. You anointed in business. You are anointed to do what you do. That is the difference between you and everybody else. You, my brothers and my sisters, are anointed. On your way to your seat, I need you to fist bump three people and tell them, you anointed to do it. You anointed to do it. Your name is about to be called. You are about to be sent for. When you walk in, you will not be fearful. When you walk in, you will not be intimidated. When you walk in, you will have boldness in the Holy Spirit. When you walk in, you will execute your assignment. When you walk in, it is an opportunity that God gave you. Lift your hands and open your mouths and worship God for the oil. For the oil. For the oil. For the oil. You are anointed to do what you do. You anointed to, nobody can do business the way you do it. Nobody can sing the way you, nobody can even dress the way you dress. You are anointed. You ready? Have a seat. Let's go again. Let's go again. You're not just anointed to do it, please listen. You're anointed to be it. Like, if anybody else were doing what you were doing, they would have a nervous breakdown. They would be exhausted. But because you're anointed, you have the strength, the energy to handle what others could never handle. And the worst thing to do is to talk to someone who doesn't have oil. I don't know how you do all of that. You're right. You don't know. Because you don't have the oil to do it. Scripture lets us know in chapter 17 that David's brothers are now gone with Saul on the battlefield. And this is one line that jumped out at me that really stuck with me. And for those of you that are anointed, you're anointed to multitask.
You have to hear this one. In 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says, David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. So some of the responsibility that were given to David's brothers are now on him. But David went back and forth from Saul to attending his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he would literally have to run to Saul and then have to run to Jesse, his father, back and forth. Everyone can't do this. And the only way that David is able to do it back and forth is because he has the oil to do it. You have to be a mother. You have to be a wife. You have to raise your children. You still got to come to church. You have to do worship. You have to be one of these people that want one of these sharp jackets that sit on the front. But nobody, they see the jacket, but they don't know what else goes with the jacket. People want to be up front, but they don't know the pressure that go with being up front. People want to be a leader, but you don't know the pressure that goes with leader. And at one point, please listen, I was evangelizing, I was pastoring, and I was building. I'm a husband, I have businesses, I own property, and it was a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces. And I was like, God, and people look at me like, when do you sleep? How do you do what you do? And I had to realize that it's no goodness of my own. That it has to be God that has given me the grace and the anointing to do what I do. Can I show you a scripture that helped me the most? In Matthew 25:15, when he talks about the five talents. Can we bring the scripture up? And it says, to one, he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent. Here's my line. Each according to his ability. Which means that if God gives you something, he knows that you have the ability to handle it. So you need to stop listening to the devil tell you that you're going to break. You need to stop listening to the lie of the enemy telling you that this is too much on you. You are not the normal. You have the supernatural of God. Those of you, watch me. With that being said, I rebuke the spirit of pressure. You will not break. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, and you are anointed for this. For anyone that felt as if you were running out of oil, God's about to fill you back up again to make sure that you could go full speed ahead. Ah, come on, y'all. I feel a fresh anointing coming in the building. Lift your hands and open your mouths. Hold on. Not in my notes, but I feel anointed to do it. Those of you that have been feeling as if you're under pressure, that you're like tired, drained. I don't want you to be embarrassed, but I want you to be honest and transparent. Stand to your feet. Now let me show you. You anointed to be this. For those of you that are sitting in your seat, if there's anyone around you, can you do me a favor? Can you just stretch your hands towards them right now? For those of you that are standing, I came to let you know that you have backup in the spirit. And we rebuke the lie of the devil. And we tell you that you are strong. You will not break. You will not lose it. Your ladder is supposed to be greater. You are headed in a direction, and you're going to see it, you're going to touch it, and you're going to experience it. Come on, those of you that are standing, begin to lift your hands. Those at your seat, can you begin to just intercede for them for the next 20 seconds, please? Rosoto rebi andaraba seke, roto rebia sekira seko, roto rebia ladabaraba. Let the weak say, I am strong. 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 Greater is he that is within you. Greater is he. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Come on, you all, for 5 more seconds, intercede for them. Please intercede for them. Cancel sickness. We come against high blood pressure. We come against heart attacks and strokes. We come against any form of the enemy trying to attack your physical health. You will live a long, healthy, anointed, prosperous life. You will live a long, healthy, anointed, prosperous life. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy. You anointed to do it, and you anointed to be it. You are able to multitask. You are able to hold different positions. Right there, release a praise if you're on your feet for the anointing and the strength of God coming upon you. You can be seated. So you're anointed to do it. You're anointed to be it. You're anointed to do it. You're anointed to be it. Please listen. You're anointed to do it. Do what you do, and then you're anointed to be it. Whatever seat we put you in, you got it. Whatever you're called to do, you do it. Last, you're anointed to be you. So a battle comes up between the Philistines and the Israelites. There's a valley, children of Israel on one mountain, Philistines on another. The Bible says for 40 days, the Philistines would send out Goliath, which was a champion. And a champion means that he's defeated so many more before he got here. He's done his part to be called a champion. At the same time that he's in the valley challenging the children of Israel, his father sends him to drop something off to his brothers. He hears this challenge from Goliath. And David asks a question. Because sometimes I'm worried that Christians have become weak. We ignore what's challenging us when we're supposed to confront it. He hears this challenge and he asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defieth the army of the living God? Who is this that is not challenging us? He's challenging our God. Who is this? The Bible says that while David is inquiring, his brother becomes angry. Stop. Let there be revelation for some of you all. Some of your family members will become intimidated about what you're about to kill. Then his brother Eliab said, who did you leave those few sheep with? I know how conceited you are. And now this is his brother talking, who's saying all this negative stuff. Stop. Please listen. You'll never see where David addressed his brother. The Bible says that David turned and began to inquire with someone else. Why? Because I'm not going to let you drain me from what I'm about to do. Some of you all are giving people too much attention. And when you finish arguing with them, defending yourself, explaining yourself, trying to get them to see what's going on, you are too tired to face your Goliath. So you must learn how to turn your back on foolishness and not entertain things that come to distract you. The Bible says that they said, pay attention. What will be done for the one that handles this? Number one, he will be given the king's daughter. His status will change. Number two, he will be given a pot of wealth. His wealth will change. Number three, his family's debt will be paid. So when the anointing is on you, it changes your status. When the anointing is on you, it changes your wealth. When the anointing is on you, it changes your family. Because you're the curse breaker. You ready? Here's what messed me up. They took him to Saul, and here's the line I want to get to. You're anointed to be you. The Bible says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat, this is in 1 Samuel 17:38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. Go to the next verse. David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Watch me. If you study the Bible lets us know that Saul was the tallest among the children of Israel. So when he puts his armor on David, it's too heavy. He's literally trying to walk in something that's not him. I have noticed in the body of Christ that we have people who are trying to be something that they're not. And they're walking around with another person's armor on them. You were created to be you. You were created to be you. You were not created to be John Hanna. You were not created to be anybody else. He has you just the way that he wants you. And you, the longer that you're trying to be someone else, it becomes too heavy on you. And you could never do what you're supposed to do because you're trying to be something that you'll never be. You have to hear me. I know what it is to be in a church and be different in your preaching and teaching. And then I know what it is to compare myself to other people and think, how come I can't do it like that? And for many of you all, you'll never be able to do it like that because the way that you're going to do it is going to be unique. So he tried walking in them, and he made a confession. Bring it up. He said, I cannot go in these because I am not used to them. So he took them off. And today I want to challenge some of you all to take it off. Look, watch me. So when I was in college, we were really spiritual. We were deep. We were deep. When I say deep, we would go into the dormitory and just pray. And we had zeal like you wouldn't believe. And we would fast. We would pray. But I was still me. And I was silly. I still loved to smile. I loved to clown. I loved to joke. And one of the Christians looked at me and said, God will never use you because you're too silly. I was like, I went back to my dorm room. I was like, God, I just want to be used by you. And I got up. And when I got up, I put my cross around my neck. Came out with my Bible. And I was walking through the campus like this. And I had a nickname. They called me J to B. J to B means John the Baptist. And I was walking around being real deep. They would speak to me, J to B, how you doing? I'd be like, Randa Raba Sayonda. What are you doing? I'm trying to be who they say I need to be. They told me that I could never be used by God being me, so I'm trying to be who they say I need to be because I really do want to be used by God. One time I was sitting in the classroom and I thought about how good God is to me. I'm in class, you all. And when I thought about it, I jerked. And I kicked the desk over in front of me. And the whole class looked around, looked back at me like, what is wrong with you? I was like, God is good. Stop. Take that off. And some of you all, you are not you. Because you're trying to be who they say you're going to be. And the Lord sent me to tell you, I'm anointing you to be you. Nobody can beat you doing you. Ooh. Nobody smile like you. Nobody look like you. You have the way of putting on an outfit that nobody else would wear. Oh, but when you walk in, it look like you spent big money on it. Because you have a way of organizing some things. You're anointed to be you. Can you do me a favor? Can we encourage somebody around you? Can you look at them and tell them, you're anointed to be you. You're anointed to walk through 2022 with the confidence of the Lord. You're anointed to teach the way you teach. You're anointed to do business the way you do it. You're anointed to live where you live. You're anointed to work where you work. You're anointed to have ministry the way you have it. You're anointed to be young. Nobody can go after young people the way you go after young people. You're anointed to do business. Your swag is anointed. Let me put my gold chain up. It won't go up. Ready? He took it off. He took it off. You ready? Look at me. I am from the west side of Chicago, which is the hood. And when the Lord called me to pastor, he said, I need you to go and set up exactly where you grew up. I need you to set up exactly where you grew up. You cannot move to the suburbs. Your ministry is going to be in the heart of the city. You're going to live in the heart of the city. And these are the people that you're going to go after. And when I came out with this personality, with this vibe, and the, ready? Look at. And the religious community attacked me because I wasn't doing it the way that they do it. But I realized you're doing it the way you're doing it, but the body of Christ isn't growing. So maybe you should try being me. Because when, ready for this? So when I opened my church, which is 17 years ago, I read the scripture, he added to the church daily. And I told God, every service we have, every service, I need you to let somebody be added to the church. I am on a mission to empty out hell. I want to be able to go after those that the church say will never be saved. I want the swagger and the anointing to go after those that the church say keep it stepping. And for 17 years, every service, 7:30, 9:30, 11:30, or 12:30, somebody got saved. It would never happen had I tried to be somebody else. What am I trying to say? Your increase is going to come in you being you. I need you. Come on, y'all. Every time I tell you to touch somebody, something is breaking off of them. I even break your family off of you. I break your mother off of you who criticizes you for being you. I come against every negative word that has been spoken over your life that want to make you uncomfortable with the anointing and the call that is on your life. Those in the building, can you do me a favor? Can you stand to your feet and lift your hands as God prepares to anoint you to be you? You anointed for this. You're going to find you at this conference. You're going to be reintroduced to you. And you're going to be comfortable being you. Take it off. Take it off. You should begin to tell God, strip me of everything that's not you and that's not me. But make me who you want me to be. Come on for a few seconds. Lift your hands. Some of y'all were doing good, but you got off track. Oramasi. Uranda da baseke, randa la basi andolo, siki anda da ba baseke, roto rebi anda da basiki anda da ba. You anointed to be you. You anointed. You have personality. You have smile. You have energy. Come on here. You have drive. You have dreams. Come on. Now pay attention. Pay attention. You have to hear me. You have to hear me. I have 12 minutes. You have to hear me. Look at me. Once you take it off and you decide to live this life being you, being you. And sometimes I get nervous being me because will they accept me? You want to hear truth? This, whenever you're the first time speaker to come to a church, everybody gonna sit there like, who is he? Where did Pastor find him from? Who is this yellow man with his nappy hair? Me. When I was younger, I went to a church and they said, in order for you to come, you're going to have to comb your hair out. I said, okay, I combed my hair out. I said, Lord, this is the last time I'm combing my hair out. So now what you see is what you get. If you don't want me, then you shouldn't invite me. Because when I walk in, what up, though? Where did you get this confidence from? Where did you get this assurance from? Because I stay under the oil. And I would rather have his validation than yours. And he took it off. And when you take it off, then you'll be able to see what's accessible to you. God will literally open your eyes and show you what you need to defeat your enemy. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and 40 that he took his staff in his hand. He already had that. And he chose smooth stones from the stream. The only way he was able to see those stones is that he had to take David Saul's armor off. Put them in his pouch. He already had that. And a bag with his sling in his hand and approach the Philistine. You will never be able to see what's accessible to you until you take off who's not you. Then he began to speak. He goes out there and then Goliath began to try to insult him and curse him. And then David began to speak. When you take off other people, you speak with confidence. You have to listen how this young boy was talking to a champion. Because he was confident in who he was. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine armor to the birds and the wild animals of the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered around here would know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord and he will give all of you into our hands. How are you able to speak so confident? Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And I am more than a conqueror. How are you able to prophesy your tomorrow? Because I have the oil over my life. So when you have the oil and you take it off, you're able to see, you're able to speak. Let's go, Bible. You're able to move quickly. You don't wait until it comes to you. You run after it. You're able to move faster as the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And for some of you all, God's about to give you full speed this year. What you didn't get in 2 years, you'll get in 1 month. I need you to begin. The oil of God is about to be released in the building. The oil of God is about to be. You're able to see. You're able to speak. You're able to move. And you're able to execute. You're able to see. You're able to move. You're able to speak. And you're able to execute. Please hear me. Pay attention. You're able to speak. Can you open your mouth and say, I'm anointed to see. Come on, open it. I'm anointed to see it. I will see all of my resources. I will see everything that's available to me. I'm anointed to speak. I will say to this mountain, be thou removed. Whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. For the mouth of the righteous is the well of life. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. And what I speak shall be my reality. Because he is going to give me exactly what he hear me say. And I am anointed to speak. Come on, everybody. Do me a favor. Just start moving your body. Say, and I'm anointed to move. I'm anointed to move. I'm anointed to go into areas that everyone else is afraid to go into. I have the oil to go in and do what needs to be done. I do not live in fear, but I live under the oil of God. I'm called to do this. I'm comfortable doing this. I choose to do this for his glory. Everyone, and you anointed to execute, and you anointed to execute, and this will be the year of champions. Oh my God. The bishop that was here last night, he said every year produces champions. He said every year will produce champions. And I came to talk to a room full of champions. I came to talk to those of you that will be anointed to see, those of you that will be anointed to speak, those of you that will be anointed to move, and those of you that will be anointed to execute. You ready? You ready? All right. Everyone stand. So when he's running, how do you execute? The Bible says he's running, and then he reaches into his bag. While he's running, you never see where he stopped. He reaches into his bag. He grabs a stone. He places it inside his sling. He winds up. Watch me. I was reading a commentary that says there is no way that David could aim for the giant's head. You cannot move, reach, wind up, and aim at the same time. Only responsibility he had was to release the stone. Once he releases the stone, God grabs the stone and takes it in the direction of the champion and knocks the champion out. What am I trying to say to you? Your praise is your weapon. What am I trying to say to you? Your shout is your weapon. What am I trying to say to you? Your prayer life is your weapon. All I need you to do is to get ready to execute. Ora, shiki, shiki. Do me a favor. How is oil produced? It has to be crushed. It has to be squeezed. And for some of y'all, you've been feeling the pressure. This pressure is not to kill you. It's to produce oil from you. I don't know, but I need some of y'all to feel the squeeze. Do me a favor. If you trust the one next to you that they're clean, I need you to reach over. You can touch them on the shoulder, grab their hand, and just squeeze it. and tell them the oil is coming forth right now. Please, hold on. I need you to squeeze it. I need you to squeeze that hand, because you're going to execute this year. You're going to execute this year. You're going to see what you're supposed to see. You're going to move the way you're supposed to move. You're going to speak the way you're supposed to speak. And when you start something, you're going to finish strong. Come on, squeeze that hand. Oil is being produced. Oil is being produced. You anointed to see it. You anointed to speak it. You anointed to move. You anointed to execute. Give me just a few seconds. Come on, squeeze that hand. And I pray that as this squeezing, that God increase your supernatural. I pray that from this day moving forward, that you will begin to see the oil is on your life. I speak to you right now, and I say that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what you are about to conquer. You are about to do mighty things. You are about to change the game. You are about to shift the atmosphere. You are about to usher in your family. When you're blessed, your whole house is blessed. Squeeze that hand one more time and tell them you're anointed for this. Now I need you to get ready to release your praise. God, I pray that once we release our praise, that the oil be increased in this building. I pray, God, that when this praise is released, I pray that it go wherever the enemy is, and it begin to defeat some things that have been coming after us for years. On the count of three, release your shout. Hotorebe. One, two, three, go! 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 Push yourself. You got this. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Worship your God. Release your stone. Release your sound. Release your praise. You're anointed for this. You're anointed for this. Every young adult in your 20s, release your sound. My assignment is complete. I thank you for the opportunity. But I came to get with my people in Nigeria and say to us, we're anointed for this. Release a praise right there. Go. Is that the best you got? I need you to release it. I need you to release it. I need you to release it. Is that all you have? Is that all you have? Is that the best you have? I need you to release your sound.
That was a deliverance service with no laying on of hands. Very powerful. Very powerful.